Good morning. You know, I read in the Psalms this morning, God said, follow the way of my commandments, and I will enlarge your heart. And I've been praying that all morning this morning, that God would enlarge my heart. And I didn't realize that meant that I would cry like a baby during worship, but that's part of it. That's the way God is. He's compassionate. He's kind. He has something for us today. He has something for me. He wants to enlarge my heart. He wants me to love my wife more, my kids more, my family more. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the God we serve. And that's what this church is all about. We just invite you. If you're new here today, we just want to say welcome. We are glad you're here. And if you'd fill out the bulletin that was handed into you, or that was handed to you, hopefully when you came through the door, we want to give you a free CD. And there's some questions on there. All they are is just we want to know how to serve you better. If you do happen to, there's one that says, would you like to know how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That's one of the questions on there. If you check that, please don't leave without talking to somebody. Please come and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about that. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to go through a few announcements, but we just want to say welcome, and I'll touch on a few announcements here, and we'll kind of get going. All right, Faith Walkers. Faith Walkers is a sweet time. Yeah, we're gonna have a road trip the couple days after Christmas. Actually, on the 27th is when Faith Walkers starts. That's a conference that we'll be participating in Omaha, Nebraska, and our church is, you may not realize this, but the Rock Church, the Little Rock Church here in Provo, we're associated with a number of churches all over the world. And really, there's 55,000 people that comprise Great Commission churches, and our little church is a part of that. And a number of people are coming together, in not only in Omaha, but also in North Carolina, to have a Faith Walkers conference. And we invite you to join us. The next sign-up date of December 4th, before the price goes up again, is December 4th. Be sure you get signed up by December 4th so you can get the best rate. And if you need help figuring out how to get there and whatnot, come and talk to me. We'd love to figure out a way to get you there so you could come with us, because it is certainly life-changing conference. And so be there if you can. Also, Angel Tree is a special thing that our church is involved with. The recovery group has started this, got the ball rolling. They're kind of sponsoring Angel Tree. And we have a little video, but we're not going to show it this morning. But Angel Tree is, it's a great ministry, and we've been involved in the past. When someone might be in prison and they have children, and they're in prison maybe over the Christmas season, they can sign up for Angel Tree and ask, and Angel Tree, us, the church, will come and buy them gifts in the name of their father, her mother, that's in prison. But we're going to take it a little step further. We're going to have an Angel Tree event here at the Rock Church. So on December 20th, at this church, at this service at 10 a.m., what we're going to do is we're going to have our children's choir, world-renowned children's choir, is going to sing some songs, and our youth group is working on an amazing drama that's going to make me and you guys cry too, probably. It's going to be good. And we'll certainly share the reason for Christmas that morning. So we're going to promote this not only to Angel Tree, invite people that have signed up for the Angel Tree. We're going to have them here, but also to the entire community. We encourage you to invite friends and families to this special morning. And afterwards, we're going to have a luncheon. And we invite all of you to that as well, because that's when we'll actually give the kids their gifts, and we really want to bless them. We want them to really feel special. We want to be fired up and show them a morning like they've never had before. And our churches are going to be involved, we're going to be a part of that. And we could use help, especially in the food portion of that, for the luncheon. The church is going to provide ham and turkeys, but we need other things, salads and whatnot. So afterwards, you'll see there's a table set up in the back. Be sure and go and say, how can I help? How can I bring green jello or whatever? We need your help. Everybody needs to be a part of this, and you're going to want to be a part of it because it'll bless your life. A generous man will prosper, but he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. As we go to refresh and try to bless others, the power of God just comes into our lives. So if you want to be part of that angel tree, that's going to be a sweet time. Okay, moving on. Our Christmas program, that's kind of what I'm talking about. That starts this morning. If you have children pre-K through sixth grade that you want to participate in this children's, the world-renowned choir, they might not know it yet, but that's your kids. So we're going to start this morning, start teaching them some songs, and there's a number of people that have committed their time to that. So the practice will happen every Sunday at this service. So if you know someone who might not be here today who regularly is, be sure and let them know they need to get their kids here so they can be part of this Christmas program for December 20th. But each Sunday now, we're going to start committing our child program to getting the kids ready for that. And along with that, we have a decorating party. What we like to do, this is our third annual Christmas at this church, and we like to spruce it up. So on December 5th at 1 o'clock, that is a Saturday, and if you'll notice, hot chocolate, treats, fellowship, need I say more? You got to come. We can be together. We have a bunch of decorations here already, and you'd be welcome to bring more. But we really spruce this building up. This old warehouse just comes to life. So it's a sweet time to come together and fellowship and labor and get all the lights on and treats. I mean, come on. So be a part of that. Now, the gift of Christmas is a special event that the women of the Provo Rock are going to put together for December 19th, on Saturday, December 19th at 6 p.m. Again, that'll be at this building, and it'll look a lot different than it does right now. It'll be all Christmassy with tables and decorations and whatnot. And that's something you can invite a friend or somebody from your family to. Just bring someone to be a part of that special night. It's the gift of Christmas on December 19th. So, yeah, mark that on your calendar now. Yes, we're almost into December. We're having turkey this week. It's all coming down the pike. So you want to be involved in that. Okay. At this church, we have groups that meet at home. They're called life groups, and really encourage folks to get plugged into a life group. If you haven't yet, come and talk to me so I can direct you a little bit on that. That's really where we grow in our faith, is in the homes, in different people's homes, and develop relationships and really care for one another. And we all need that in our life. I know for me personally, that's where I'm grown the most, is in people's living rooms. So please be a part of that. Most of those happen on Tuesday nights. We also have a recovery group that meets here at 1 o'clock on Sundays. Yes, and God's still doing something special with that recovery group. So 1 o'clock on Sundays, every Sunday, that happens right here. And we have a youth group that meets on Wednesday nights, and we're working on the drama. If you want to be a part of that, 7th through 12th grade, come on and check it out and be a part of it on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Baptisms happen third Friday and Sunday of the month. That's when we do it. We're not having any this morning. Had one Friday night. That was sweet. But if you're trying to figure out baptism and whether you're at a place where you should be baptized and you don't understand it, come and talk to me so we can work through that. Tithe and offering box simply sits back, hangs on the wall, and that's where we give to the Lord. So I think I made it through all the announcements. That's good. So what I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the kids. And again, the kids are going to go back, and they're going to start working on our Christmas program. And while they're kind of getting pointed in that direction, what I'd like to do is just pray with you guys. And then when we come out of that, we'll have a little video. So I'm going to pray first, and then we'll have a little video to start the service. So if you would, please pray with me. God, we need your help. Lord, we do. I love that psalm this morning that you laid on my heart to enlarge my heart. God, I need that. Sometimes my heart can be so hard and crusty. I pray you would enlarge my heart, all of us, God. You'd enlarge our hearts that we'd be more like you. We'd be more compassionate. We'd care more for others, God. And we'd have eyes like your eyes, God, that we could see what you see. And Lord, this morning I do, and this our dear precious children, God, I pray you'd help us this morning. Show us favor and teach us in this important topic today, God. Help us and open your word to us, God. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. So to start this, I think I have kind of an appropriate little video here. If we go ahead and roll that.
Yes, sir. You the boy's father?
That's right. Simon Winkler.
Andy Taylor.
Now then, what's this all about?
249A, section Roman numeral 5. Passenger carrying wheeled vehicle making passage and or transcending area designated for pedestrian traffic only. Suspect duly warned, flaunted said warning, and ignoring same repeated offense within a 24-hour period.
All right, so he rode his bike on the sidewalk.
I was there, Mr. Winkler. Arnold was given a warning and continued to ride his bicycle on the sidewalk.
The offense was clearly defined under normal weather conditions.
There was plenty of room. I wasn't hurting anybody.
People are coming in and out of stores on Main Street every minute. You never know when somebody's going to walk right out in front of you.
Everybody's against me.
Now, there, son.
Get him out, little bud.
Now you see what you've done? You got the boy all upset. Was it such a crime? Seems to me you people would have more important things to do than go around frightening children.
Now, look here, Mr. Winkler. Arnold was warned and continued to ride his bicycle on the sidewalk. Now, we're going to impound that bicycle so he learns to use it according to regulation.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Sheriff, can't you see this is a very sensitive child? Obviously, you don't understand him. Arnold's a good boy. You just don't understand him.
Oh, I think I understand him.
He's a good boy, really. A little high-spirited, perhaps, but weren't we all at his age?
I wasn't.
The law's the law, Mr. Winkler. Now, if we don't teach children to live in society today, what's going to happen to them when they grow up?
For heaven's sake, Sheriff, the boy's not a criminal.
I didn't say he was. Now, what he does at home is none of our business. But when he gets out on the street, he's going to have to answer to us. I can show you in the statute book. The minimum punishment for this offense is impounding the bicycle for 1 week.
Well, you can't do it. I demand you return that bike and now.
Now, you look here. You're that boy's father. You're responsible for his actions. Now, he's too young to be locked up. But if you're not going to take responsibility, maybe I ought to lock you up. You ever think of that?
Yeah. Well, my daddy ain't scared of that, are you? Make them put you in jail. That'll show them. Go on, Dad. Show them they can't push me around. Go on. Put him in jail. He won't care.
How's that?
My dad'll show you. He's tough.
You want me to lock your father up?
He ain't afraid of you. I don't want to lose my brand new bike. I just got it.
You'd rather I put your father in jail.
I want my bike!
Sheriff, there won't be any need to impound that bike.
How's that?
I'd like to have it. I want to sell it.
You're going to sell my bike?
That's right, Arnold.
But it's my bike. You can't sell my bike.
Be quiet, Arnold.
Barney, you won't go get the bicycle.
10-4.
No. I won't let you. You can't do that.
Arnold, be quiet.
Mr. Winkler, would you like to continue this father and son discussion in quiet?
Huh?
I say, would you like to continue this in quiet? There's a real nice woodshed out back.
Woodshed?
Mm-hmm.
Good old-fashioned woodshed?
Real nice one.
Hmm? Come on, Arnold.
No, I want my bike!
Is Arnie
going to
get spanked, Paul?
Don't you think he deserves it?
I don't want to say. After all, he is one of my own kind.
I love Opie. Well, today we're going to continue with part 8 in our Blueprint series, and the hammer falls during the discipline. We're going to talk about disciplining children this morning, and it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. There's a couple of quotes here. We'll start with this quote. Insanity is hereditary. You can get it from your children. San Levinson. I heard an amen. How about this one? The thing that impresses me most about North America is the way parents obey their children. You know, that is sad, but true. Honestly, but true. In the culture we live in, I see it all the time. And I'm trying to figure it out myself as a parent. Here's another little, I don't want to go there yet. Here we go. And I know you've all seen it, you've done it. With parents, parenting, I have three kids. They're a little bit older now. But my tendency as a parent, as a dad, me personally, is I tend to be passive. And there's places and times for passivity, but in parenting, that is not the place for passivity. But that's my struggle. That's what I wrestle with. And I run with a lot of dads. I run with a lot of parents and a lot of singles that one day will be parents. And we need God to teach us in this area of parenting. And we need to have some backbone, without a doubt, especially us dads. We need to have some backbone. And God is so kind. He gives us his word and teaches us how to be parents. Here's a little something from A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer in Men Who Met God, in a book, Men Who Met God, we must face the fact that many today are notoriously careless in their living. This attitude finds its way into the church. We have liberty, we have money, we live in comparative luxury. As a result, discipline practically has disappeared. That's so true. What would a violin solo sound like if the strings on the musician's instrument were all hanging loose, not stretched tight, not disciplined? That's a good quote. So parents, parenting is your responsibility. Parenting's, and I'm preaching to myself too, and you that will be parents one day, because you most likely, almost everyone will be, parenting is your responsibility. It's yours. It's not mine as your pastor. It's not this church's, although we're for you and we're with you and we'll pray with you and we'll coach you and we'll point you to things and we'll do series and different things. But parenting is your responsibility. You know, and for goodness sakes, don't let their peers raise them. And don't let Hollywood raise them. And there's all kinds of self-help books out there that the world wants to give you to help raise your children. There's just all kinds of stuff. And some of it's very good, don't get me wrong here. But it needs to be looked at through the lens of the Bible for parenting. God didn't hide it from us. He created this whole crazy world. He created parents and children, and he gave us a plan, a blueprint on how to raise these children. It's not a mystery. No, actually, it's quite simple. It really is. It's pretty simple. Let's look at these verses. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 9, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Now, of course, I highlighted that and underlined it and enhanced it. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Impress them upon your children. Parents, that's our charge. That's my charge. Impress them upon your children in everything you do, in everything I do. Point them to Jesus. Point them to God. Be an example in that. Oh, I just cry out to this culture, to what we've created. The parenting thing is all a mess. It really is. And it's not that complicated. What's hard, what's difficult, is just being consistent and following through with what God shows us. The plan, the blueprint that's rolled out in front of us is really not that complicated. Impress them on your children always. two basic principles. Here's to boil this down to two things. There's certainly all kinds of other stuff, but there's just two basic principles for raising children that I'm going to talk about this morning. First, I'm going to read another story that I got off the internet from one of the websites I like to peruse. When I was just a boy, this is a story that I'm reading here. When I was just a boy, I was intrigued by a large cucumber. It was no different from any other cucumber, but it was in the strangest place. My uncle kept it in a bottle on a shelf. This particular cucumber was many times too large to go through the neck of the bottle. I wondered how it got there in the first place. I was filled with awe of my uncle, who could perform such a feat. He joked about it and never told me how he did it. My mother finally explained that when the cucumber was very tiny, it had been passed through the narrow neck and allowed to grow while it still was attached to the vine. My mother practiced a similar principle with her children. From my earliest memory, she surrounded me with prayer and instruction and the gospel. As a result, I was brought to Christ and am now safe in the bottle of his salvation. What a lesson for parents who have little cucumbers at home. Don't let anything interfere with your first duty toward them. The person who said, "Give me a child till he's seven, and I care not who gets him after that," knew the value of early training. Don't neglect your little cucumbers. Don't neglect your little cucumbers. We can shape and mold their little hearts right now. And that's our mandate from the Lord. Today we'll be talking primarily about kids from the age 2 to 10. About that window, 2 to 10, is just it's just like wet clay that God has given us to help form them into the people that he wants them to be. So let's go ahead and get started with these two basic principles. You know, the Bible in Psalm 19 says, "Your word is a lamp." The psalmist writes to God and says, "Your word is a lamp." And I just love that visual. And I've done it before, just shut all the lights off in this building and just have a flashlight for a visual. God's word, his word is a lamp for you and I. There's a directive there. He's going to show us which step. And he doesn't usually give you this big, huge view on where you're going. It's just the next step, the next step, the next step. His word is a lamp. Be sure and follow his word. First principle, love your children with grace and acceptance. That seems like a no-brainer. Let's look at point A, apply grace. A couple of verses on grace here. Romans 12:3. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Now, parents, we're not called to lord it over these children, but teach them with humility and grace, like God has delivered grace to you and I. That's the same kind of grace that we're to pass on to our children. Let's look at this next verse, 1 Corinthians 3:10. "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds." You and I, we need to be careful how we build. And I want you to hear this. I'm going to actually read it from my notes. Is you're more to God than what you do. You hear that? You are more to God than what you do. God doesn't love you based on what you do. All right? God doesn't love you based on what you do. God loves you no matter what you do. Okay? Now, that's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why God sent his one and only son, because he knew we needed a Savior. But that same principle, that same grace must apply with our children. We cannot parent our children based on how good they are or what they do. We need to love them the same way tomorrow that we did today, with grace and acceptance, no matter what they do to drive you crazy. That always needs to, God, you know, we don't deserve mercy and grace, but our King, our God, knows that we need it, and it's the only only hope that we have. So he lavishes that on you and me. And that's the same just basic principle in parenting that you and I need to get. Because oftentimes, whether it's sports or whatever, you know, if your kid's a musician or you want them to do a certain thing, and or if they're not listening to you, they're not obeying, they're not doing it, then they get treated differently. And I'm guilty of it. I've done it time and time and time again in my home. I'm not saying I have it all figured out, but I do know that God has laid some basic principles for us to follow. And he wants us to display grace to our children just like he's displayed it to us. And he'll help us with that. Always offer acceptance. Again, this just seems pretty straightforward because it is. God accepts you just the way you are. You know, it's good that you guys cleaned up and came to church today, but you would have been welcome no matter how you came. And that's the way God always is. He's just welcome. You come just the way you are. You don't have to clean yourself up. You come to me, and I'll clean you up. That's our God. A couple more good verses from the New American Standard Bible. For the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. That is a promise from God. His loving kindness will not, should have highlighted that, be removed from you. And you and I, we need to treat our children that same way. It's another good verse in Hebrews. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. You know what? Our children need to hear this once in a while. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And even as parents, as husband and wife sometimes, the husband and wife, Jeannie and I butted heads a little bit once in a while. Last night we had a little one. but we can have conflict, and you will have conflict. And remember on my intimacy talk, conflict's a doorway to intimacy? So I'm looking forward to that today. But conflict happens, and what can happen as your kids observe this? Now, they're growing up in your home. They're growing up in your home, and they're observing mom and dad maybe having it out a little bit. Well, you did this, you did that. And what happens is most of the time, children don't see you resolving it. Do they? So, honestly, there's a little bit of, oh, I hope mom and dad are, because they don't see the parents, please. You know, maybe they do sometimes. Sometimes you may, which is a good thing to do, in humility, say, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked that way. Will you please forgive me? And our children need to see that. Oh, my goodness. Some of the best lessons are learned from us when we finally humble ourselves. But you know what? That's another good thing, especially for your little children. Just say, you know what? Mom and Dad, we love each other. And occasionally, we might have conflict, and you might see, you know, even last night, we had a little argument. You know what? But Mom and I, we are not going anywhere. We will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, Mom and Dad have made a covenant before God to each other that we will never leave each other or forsake each other. This for life, forever. Your parents are going to be together. The kids need to hear that once in a while, that we're going to be forever together. That's never going to change. And that helps that there's not sinking sand for those kids. Oh, okay, they had a fight, but they worked it out, and they're always going to be together, and they're always going to be there for me, and there's security in this home, and I can count on that. And, you know, that's just a good practice anyway, because you start doing that, and you start believing it. And it's good, and it's important to talk it, talk the walk, to live it, to be part of that. All right, let's move on here. There's another good verse. In 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Of course, these are the love verses. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it was wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And I just want to highlight, this is not only for us to love husband and wife and to love our children and to love others, but there's certain things in here that you just can't rush by. I mean, we could take the rest of the day on this verse, but we won't. But there's one I want to highlight for sure is, actually two. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love always trusts. Ooh, those are hard. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Husband and wife might take a note of this for sure in your marriage. You had not to be arguing about last week's stuff. It doesn't need to keep coming up. There's got to be forgiveness displayed. You got to work through that conflict. And with kids too, with children, they may sin and go this way and go this way. And how many times should we forgive them? 70 times 7 is what Jesus told the disciples. You just keep forgiving them. You just keep forgiving them. You need to trust them and help them and trust them and keep no record of wrongs to build them up. Build them up, continually to build them up and not tear them down. Such good verses. Keep no record of wrongs. Love always trusts. And that's tough, but to follow through as parents, we need to remember that. The second principle that I want to touch on this morning is love your children with training and discipline. Once again, parents, this is your responsibility. This is my responsibility. That training and discipline, where does that come from? Mom and dad. Mom and dad. Certainly there are other things, other places you can be involved in that kind of help train and point your kids and discipline them. But it boils down to you, parent. You are called to train and discipline your children. So let's look at a couple points here on this basic principle. A, train. And you may think of this, I just saw this, train your children. It's almost like you're the engineer. Woo-hoo! Train them. You're the one taking them where they need to go. You need to train them. I need to train my children. We need to be on task with it. We can't slough in it. We can't shrink back. It's for all time with our kids. Just got to stay at it. Here's some good Proverbs, and certainly Proverbs is where we go to for training these children. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Oftentimes, this verse can be misinterpreted a little bit, I think. You'll say, train a child in the way he should go, and I've had conversations with people before that who have lost their children into the world, and they said, well, I'm trusting that verse. That I trained that child when he was little, and when he's old, he'll not turn from it. Using it more as a, he'll return to me, he'll return to us. I personally don't think you have to lose your children just because they become a teenager. I think they can come with you. In fact, I believe in it with all my heart, that our children need to be with us. And this farce that the world throws at you that, oh, you just give them space, just leave them alone, let them go. Oh, man, that's ridiculous. It is. Our children need to stay with us. You can keep their hearts. The teen years can be just a joy. They really can. You don't have to miss out on that, and you don't have to just release them. Oh, my goodness, once they get a driver's license and get a job maybe, and then they're going to school, you have to fight to have time with them. They're just gone all the time. But parents, we just really have to be careful not to just to release into that. Okay, I've done my job. You're not done. You are not done. Don't let the world just take them. No, 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 no. You fight, and it's not always easy. I'm in the middle of it now. My children are getting a little bit older. But they're with me. They're here this morning serving the church. Kelsey's singing, Colin's beating the drums, Brennan's running PowerPoint. They're with me. They didn't necessarily want to get up this morning. You know, that's pretty common, but you probably didn't either. Some things you just need to do. You need to get up and serve the Lord. But the whole idea of once they get to be, they're just teenagers. Woo! And sometimes I say that. You know, they're teenagers. But you know what? I can't just throw up my hands and say, all right, there's nothing I can do about it. They're a teenager. That's just not the case. Okay, here we go. Another good verse here. In Ephesians 6:4, certainly you've heard this one before. Again, I highlighted it, enhanced a certain part of it. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Just pretty straightforward, honestly, for training. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Do not exasperate your children. Again, I have stumbled so many times in this, I could write a book on it. My kids have been exasperated probably today. The thing is, got a weird shaped ear this morning. Forgive me. The thing is, when we exasperate our children, like we frustrate them, and again, I'm sure you guys don't do that, but I do pretty regular, and I have to humble myself because I do. I exasperate my children. But the thing is, our God is big enough to help me from my shortcomings, and he fills in. But when we do, when we exasperate them or treat them harshly, that's my tendency, is I'll get fired up and my emotions come into play. And here's what happens. When I do that, it turns to the Charlie Brown things. My kids can't even hear me. I can't teach them once I've exasperated their hearts. Their little hearts just close up to nothing. And then it's the Charlie Brown thing. Wah, 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 wah. You know, I might be talking to them, but that's all I hear. Wah, 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 wah. And they go away and they've learned nothing. And it just breaks my heart. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Okay, let's move on. Discipline your children. Oh, now we're getting somewhere, huh? Before we move on, though, I had another story that I want to read here. I'm getting so excited. I really do care deeply about this topic, and I don't want to get in my head of myself. But here's another good story that I'm going to read to you. Benjamin West was just trying to be a good babysitter for his little sister, Sally. While his mother was out, Benjamin found some bottles of colored ink and proceeded to paint Sally's portrait. But by the time Mrs. West returned, ink blots stained the table, chairs, and the floor. Benjamin's mother surveyed the mess without a word until she saw the picture. Picking it up, she exclaimed, "Why, it's Sally!" And she bent down and kissed her young son. In 1763, when he was 25 years old, Benjamin West was selected as history painter to England's King George III. He became one of the most celebrated artists of his day. Commenting on his start as an artist, he said, "My mother's kiss made me a painter. Her encouragement did far more than a rebuke ever could have done." The Apostle Paul instructed parents, "Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." It's easy to notice the wrong in a child, but difficult to look beyond an innocent offense to see an act of creativity and love. What a challenge to raise our children according to God's standards, knowing when to say, "It's a mess," and when to say, "Why, it's Sally." And that there is a balance in all of that, isn't there, in our discipline. And certainly, you know, that. And each child is different. I found that out incredibly with my three children. They're all so different. You think you could get through one and just have a pattern there. Well, I'll just do the same thing, but not at all. Each one is just so different. But there is a window, my goodness, where there's appropriate discipline things that you can implement, like from 2 to 10. There's a window. And when they get a little bit older, that changes. And I have a son that's 18 now. And really, my discipline from him, you know, I'm counting on God for that. God's going to discipline him. God's going to catch him. I pray that. God, catch him. Catch him, God. You bust him. And God will. God will discipline him. But we get to a point where they're, you know, my kids are basically adults now. They're adults, so I'm to a place where I might rebuke them. And I have to be careful how I do that as adult to adult. Or there might be a rebuttal. But the discipline changes, see? And you need to follow through with that. I'm going to touch on that a little bit here, too, as well. Okay, let's look at some more verses. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Ouch. It's just saying, you know what? It's a no-brainer. You need to be disciplined. And God will discipline you. But as parents, we need to discipline our children. That's part of being a parent. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Boy, that is so true. That is so true. You know, I have never enjoyed administering discipline, but I desire its fruit. I have certainly enjoyed its fruit over the years. God has shown me fruit, and I said, oh, right there. Oh, I can see. Oh, thank you, God, for helping me with that. There's just fruit from it. Here's a quote from Robert Frost. Life is tons of discipline. It's not going to stop when they leave your home. Like I said, God is fully capable of disciplining them, and he will. There's lots of different things in place. But while they're in our home, that's our role. Now, I want to talk a little bit this morning. I'm going to talk about spanking. And I'm fully aware how sensitive this subject can be. Believe me, I'm fully aware that some of you are going, wah, here we go again. And I just want you to consider this biblical tool. Because it is. It's biblical. It's a biblical tool. And I'm not saying it's the only tool, but I do believe it's a tool that can go in a parent's tool chest. And I think it's a viable tool. And I think in our culture today, it's been lost. And I think a lot of what we see and read about in the paper and see on the news is because of that. Now, like I said, it's not the only tool, but it's part of parenting. And a great question you might ask is what you're doing working? Is what you are doing for discipline right now, is it working? I think that's a good, healthy question to ask ourselves as parents once in a while. Is what you're doing working? You know, my personal walk with Jesus, and I've told you guys this before, didn't begin until I was 37 years old. So I had lived some life. Actually, my children were 7 years old, 4 years old, 1 year old when I got saved. So I had already implemented some parenting methods that were not biblical. I'll give you a little tip on how I used to parent. Let's see, I wrote it down here. Oh, here it is. So I basically warned them. When my kids did something wrong, I'd basically warn them and threaten them, and I'd warn them, and I'd threaten them, and I'd warn them, then I'd threaten them, then I'd explode! And that was my parenting method. I don't know, I don't think it was a horribly bad parent, necessarily, but that's what I had learned as a kid. That's what my dad did, that's what my mom did. And my parents split up, and I didn't have authority in my life when I was a little kid, so the only pattern I had was the world. I just, don't you do that. I warn you. Oh, you're going to get it. Don't you? And you know what? The biggest problem with that is it always depended on my emotional condition. So we never knew when the top would pop or pop would pop. You never knew. My kids... You know, they'd push me and push me and push me. And Kelsey, you're such a little lawyer. You would just argue with me. But, and then, you know what? I did administer some spanking in that day, but I was emotional. I'd be emotional. And it had no effect because it was out of control. It was ridiculous. It wasn't controlled. It was not loving at all. Now, thank goodness we have a big God, okay? And he must have seen that I was really blowing it, so he saved me. And my wife, on the same day, we came to the Lord on the same day. And he happened to put us in Great Commission churches. And he happened to put us in a church in Loveland, Colorado, that was filled with all these families that were trying to follow the Lord, that were following the Lord. So I had all these wonderful examples in my life. And Jeannie and I walked our little family right into that church. And they probably all went, But our brothers and sisters helped teach us godly principles, that our home didn't have to be chaos like we see. See people walking through Walmart with this scream. It doesn't have to be like that. Honestly, it doesn't. God has a better plan than all of that. And so we started to learn. Jeannie and I, we started learning godly principles. We started running hard for the Lord. God has really blessed our life. He's really showed me personally. He gave me a measure of faith out the gate. And I just wanted to run towards him. I want to learn. I want to be with people who love the Lord. It's all I've ever wanted to do. I just want to run with people that love the Lord. I want to see the lost come to know the Lord. And I want them to run with us too. And so I had gone to a parenting conference, Jeannie and I. The people that we met, they were homeschooling. And they were just doing things completely different with some of the ideas. We thought, are you kidding me? What are we involved in here? But as we observed their children, I said, that's what I want for my children. So we had come home from a parenting conference, and it was really a good one up in Estes Park, and it really spelled out some things that I really took to heart, that God really convicted me on. I remember Jeannie and I coming home from that conference, and I brought the kids out in the living room, you know, 1, 2, 3 all in the row there, and it was a beautiful day. I asked them for forgiveness. I said, kids, will you please forgive me? My parenting has been the world's way of parenting, and I am going to parent now, I promise you, I'm going to parent now different than I ever have before. I am going to consistently spank you. And their eyes are like, I said, you know, but I'm going to do it in love. I said, God taught me some things this weekend. And your mother and I, we agree in this, and that's important. Parents are on the same page here. You know, I probably, and rightly so, as a father, I took the lead in this, and I did most of the spanking. It's not like I'm a spank crazy guy, but I did some spanking without a doubt. And my wife did some spanking as well. But we told our kids, when I tell you something, you need to do it, okay? You need to obey me quickly, quietly, and right away. So I said, consider this a warning. Okay, kids, this morning, I love you too much to go on parenting the way we have. So from that point on, I'm not perfect. I messed up. But Jeannie and I, we tried to be consistent with spanking our children. You might go, oh. But let me tell you what. Our home didn't about-faced. And when I tell my children to do something, they did it. It's not like I was all day long. Come on in. Who's next? You know, often if you get the old one pretty good, she comes out of the room all, and the younger ones are like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. But, I just want to give you, you know, just some real practical stuff. You know, the Bible talks about some tools here. And let's look at them. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Seems pretty clear to me. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. You know, my kids often would sound like they were going to die. And I would just simply use a switch. And oftentimes they would hide the switch. Come to find out, Brenna was pretty good at hiding the switch. But I would always find something, wouldn't I? But I would get a little switch, and this is how it looked like in my home. You know, I'm not saying this is the only way, and I know I know lots of brothers and sisters that do it, other little, maybe little things that they use to do it, but I used a switch. Some people use a bare bottom. I just went right through the pants. That just was my method. But sometimes the kids, I thought they were dying, because they'd, yeah, yeah, And then I hadn't even hit him yet. He's like, ah! It's like, hey, settle down. This is going to happen. But this is the procedure, I would say. It's just all changed. Disciplining with love. When my emotions were out, when my popped pop was gone, and there was love, I would say, you know what? God has given us an opportunity here to grow, to learn. And I march him right back into the room there, you know, and they're, say, no, really, I love you too much. I love you way too much to let you go on lying like that. Now, did you lie? You know what? I love you too much to allow that to happen. And I want you to learn from this. God has given us a teachable opportunity. I'm going to be faithful as your dad to follow through and spank you. And I spank him. And it hurt. And it hurt. Sometimes I think they said their moms didn't hurt that much. So they're just like, but typically they didn't do that when they left with me. And sometimes they would. I would spank him. I thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? And I'd hit my hand with it. And it's like, oh, it doesn't hurt that bad. And that was a good test to hit myself with that little rod to see how much it hurt. But that, you know, and eventually when they realized I would, if I said I was going to do it, I'm going to do it. That there was no more threat. They just, oh, Dad, we'll do it. And then things just went away. When I said, stop doing that, they stopped. Don't run out in front of that car, they stopped. It wouldn't be a question of, oh, should I today or not? Is he emotionally there? I need to do what Dad says. And to this day, I need to do what Dad says. And it's been a joy. My kids are here. Kelsey. And I don't know if Colin's here yet. I might have to give him a spanking if he's not. But they survived it. They're not perfect. My kids are not perfect. But you know what? God's using their lives. God's using their lives. They're part of this church, a huge part of it. They've been a part of 3 church plants. And God's had them right in the middle of all of that. But a big part of it is we're together. And we're seeking his kingdom first. And I think it's important not to put away the tools God's given us. How about this Proverbs 29, verse 15? The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. You know, and there's a balance. Kids get older. And a good saying that Rick Whitney often says, you know, If you have to keep addressing the problem, then you're probably not addressing the problem. If you have to keep coming back to the same discipline, the same issue, if you have to keep coming through that door, oh, she's done it again. Well, then apparently the method that you're using is broken. It's not working. I just think that's such a good thing. And, of course, as kids get older, like I said, there may be a 2 to 10 window where I spank them. And even when they got a little older, Kelsey, I'm going to share just a little bit. Last time I spanked my oldest girl, we were homeschooling her, and she had cheated in her homework for quite a while there. But that's probably the last time I spanked her. And, boy, did I. But we corrected that. And, you know, I can point to that time. That's probably the last time that I spanked her. I can point to that time, and there was a turn in her life. There's a directional turn in her life that she started listening and paying attention, and there was just a huge turn in her life. And that's probably the last time. But now, as they get older, then as parents, we go, oh, I can't, he's bigger than me. I can't spank him anymore. I'd like to. But so I get to a certain age. Well, again, if you keep addressing the problem, then the discipline's probably not strong enough. I mean, when they start driving the car, you take the car away. It's got to make a difference. There's certain things. Brenna and I really like to share ice cream. I take that away from her, and it's hard for her not to have. There's certain things. Your friends can't do this. You can't stay overnight. No. No, you can't be on Facebook. No, you cannot play that game today. No, You cannot do it for a week. You know what? You lied to me during the week about it again? No. We'll take that for 2 weeks. I don't care how big your fit is. See, that discipline that you use, it has to be something that changes that behavior. Otherwise, you're just going to, it's just like a juggling thing. And that's what I see all over the place. People are just, this parenting juggle. It's like, whoa! You need to lay down the hammer. You need to change it. You need to do something serious. You need to have some backbone. Parents, we need to have some backbone, some discipline. We need to help these children. That's the bottom line. We think it's being passive and holding back and letting them go and letting them go. We think, oh, that's going to help them. I just want to love them and help them. It's wrecking them. It's going to be a train wreck. I see it all the time. Come on a Friday night. Their kids have been raised that way. I was raised that way. And I'm still trying to sort through this whole thing. I'm so thankful I have authority of Christ in my life now. Under his authority. I just need that authority. Kids need their parents. They need you now. One last thing I'm going to read here. I'll just read this again from Bible.org. It's just a sermon illustration. I really like these. Learning and trade as an apprentice is not as involved now as it was in days gone by. Today, when someone is assigned to a department or an individual to learn a job or craft, he does so by observation, instruction, and practice. But in years past, an apprenticeship often began while the learner was still young. He moved right in with his teacher and lived as he lived. He was the master carpenter or blacksmith, 24 hours a day, watching his every move and following his careful and sometimes harsh instruction. He learned the skill, but he learned much more than a profession. He was being taught a whole way of life. This total life concept is built into the word translated training. In Ephesians 6:4, the command applies to both fathers and mothers, and it means much more than teaching the Bible and Christian belief, though those are involved. The expectation is that through word and personal example, parents will nurture their children and teach them what it means to live for Christ in a practical, daily sense. Sure, children learn a lot about God in Sunday school, but only from you, Dad and Mom, will they see what it means to walk with Jesus in a total life way. Train up a child in the way she go, but be sure you go that way yourself. Let's pray. God, we need your help. We need your help in parenting. Father God, we thank you for how you designed it, Lord, how you give us children, God. Help us to learn how to be faithful. Help us to show them grace and acceptance and to train them and to discipline them, Lord. Teach us how to do that better. Help us to be consistent, Father God. Oftentimes, I think for me personally, Lord, I repent of just being lazy. Lord, help us, Father God, to be faithful with your dear, dear, dear children, God. Help us to just get to a place where we can just put their hand, take it out of our own hand, and place it in yours, God, confident that you will do mighty things with their lives. We love you, and we just thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.